on this edition of WBOI's Field Notes. IU football is headed to Atlanta after crushing Alabama in their college football playoff opener last week. We'll hear from coaches and players ahead of Friday's Peach Bowl matchup. Victoria Jacobson from the Journal-Gazette drops by to share the latest on local high school and college basketball, and I'll close with notes on the Comets, NFL playoffs, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. The top-ranked Hoosiers advanced to the college football playoff semifinals with a 38-3 rout of Alabama last week in the Rose Bowl. Head coach Kurt Cignetti says IU rushing for more than 200 yards allowed the Hoosiers to control the game.
Well, I think that's what you would always love to see as the head coach, things we used to preach when I was at Alabama about changing the way they think, breaking their will, and that's the best way to do it, running the football.
One of the big concerns for Indiana heading into the Rose Bowl was the effect that not playing a game in a month might have. It turns out, none. Quarterback and Heisman winner Fernando Mendoza says Cignetti kept them focused.
I think Coach Cignetti did a fantastic job of a trickle-down effect of really making sure there was no complacency because, you know, you have 26 days off. That's very, very tough.
Mendoza threw three touchdowns and the defense held Alabama to under 200 yards. Next up is a rematch with 13-1 Oregon Friday in the Peach Bowl. Indiana handed the Ducks their only loss of the season back in October. Oregon head coach Dan Lanning believes his team is better suited to beat the Hoosiers now than earlier in the year.
You know, I think we've grown in a lot of different ways, found different strengths. As your team changes, you change and you adapt to your strengths of your team, and you see the same thing with Indiana.
The Ducks advanced to the Peach Bowl by shutting out Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl 23-0. Cignetti says losing to Indiana in the first game may work in Oregon's favor.
I think it's more of a psychological edge, maybe. The one team that came up a little short, a little added edge, so to speak. But at the end of the day, it's determined by what goes on between the white lines.
Friday night's game in Atlanta kicks off at 7:30 on ESPN. And now I'm joined by Victoria Jacobson from the Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
We're in the heart of local basketball season now. The high school girls season is a bit further along at this point. The latest IBCA poll is out, and the current number one team in the state is from our area.
Yes, so your new number one is Warsaw. According to Warsaw themselves, this is the first time that the Tigers have been ranked number one in the state in any poll since the 2003-2004 preseason poll. So it's been quite a while, even though, of course, they've had a lot of success. A lot of people might remember that Warsaw went to the Class 4A state finals last year, came up a little bit short. Seems like, you know, maybe they're one of the contenders to make it back there again this year. They had a really, really great 2 weeks over the Christmas break, which is a break for school attendance, not a break for basketball. The Tigers were 6-0 over that period. They beat previous number one Norwell, also a local team, and also Evansville Central at the Hall of Fame Classic. And then they held their own tournament at home where they dominated Peru, Indianapolis Ritter, and Columbia City, winning all three games by more than 40 points. And the closest game from that Christmas period was a 76-58 win over Fairfield. So things have been going really well for the Tigers, who are now 17-1. Homestead is 15-2, and the Spartans climbed two spots to number four, so they're back there at number four. And Norwell, now 13-4, dropped a couple games during that sort of holiday tournament period, and they have dropped seven spots to number eight. Belmont is 14-1, holding steady at number 17, and Snyder, which is 12-5, drew some votes. So had a little bit of a rough start to the season, had a lot of injuries, now seem to be coming on strong as we get into the final month of the regular season.
On the boys' side of things, you caught an exciting one between Snyder and New Haven earlier this week.
Yeah, so it'd been a little bit of a tough start at home for Snyder. First of all, just most of their games have been on the road or again at these neutral sites at holiday tournaments. But finally, third home game of the season, Snyder picks up its first home win on Tuesday night, 53-48 over New Haven. You might be thinking, well, that's not really a conference victory. We know what's... But aside from the fact that New Haven have been having a pretty good season to start off with, Bulldogs are now 8-3, including that Tuesday loss. But... you know, they're not conference opponents, but they're really, really close. If you think about it geographically, just about, I think, 7 miles is the distance between Snyder and New Haven. So it was a pretty full gym on a Tuesday night for a non-conference matchup. It was pretty impressive to see how intense the crowd got over, again, a non-conference game. But it was really, really close, neck and neck for much of the game. I think they had like 3 ties, 8 lead changes. Snyder seemed to be pulling away a little bit in the third quarter. And then we had ourselves an 11-0 New Haven run. Snyder responds and ends with a 7-0 run to end the third quarter. And then they never trail in the fourth. So a pretty big victory for Snyder, which had started the season 2-4. They've now won 3 in a row, 4 of their last 5. Things seem to be coming together at the right time.
We focus a lot on high school sports on this show, but we've got plenty of teams at the college level in action as well. You put together a nice roundup of our women's teams in Sunday's edition of the Gazette. How are they doing?
So, starting with Indiana Tech, they outscored Madonna by 17 points in the fourth quarter on Saturday for a 76-59 win in their first game of the 2026 calendar year. So, the Warriors are now 10-4 and 7-1 in the Wolverine Hoosier Athletic Conference. For St. Francis, the number 7 Cougars easily won over Goshen, beating the Maple Leafs 73-28. The Cougars held the Maple Leafs scoreless for the first 5 minutes of play, went up 12-0, and were up 21-7 by the end of the first quarter, and that's basically all she wrote. So St. Francis is now 14-1, including 4-1 in the Crossroads League. Over at Grace at Winona Lake, the Lancers fell to Mount Vernon Nazarene 99-82. Pretty high scoring matchup over there. They've played in a fair amount of those this year. Huntington lost to Bethel, the Bethel Pilots, 68-62. And so Huntington falls to 11-4 on the season. And then Trine getting sort of back on track here with a 71-58 win over St. Mary's. They outscored the Bells 21-4 in the first quarter and are back on the winning side of the ledger, now 9-3 and 3-0 in the MIAA.
Victoria Jacobson is covering basketball and many other local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Fort Wayne Comets had a real tough weekend with 1 loss and 2 overtime losses. So while they still managed to pick up 2 points in the standings, they fall into second place in the Central Division. Still plenty of season left in the ECHL. They're back on home ice Friday night and are looking to bounce back against Cincinnati with a 7:30 faceoff from the Coliseum. Then they're on the road Saturday to face Toledo at 7:15 before hosting Toledo Sunday at 5. The NFL playoffs start this weekend. The Colts won't be part of it, but hey, Riley Leonard sure looked all right in Houston. I got my Packers-Bears rematch at Soldier Field in Chicago. That one kicks off Saturday night at 8 on Amazon Prime. The other game that day is between the Rams and Panthers from Charlotte with a 4:30 kickoff. 3 games are slated for Sunday, starting with the Bills and Jaguars from Jacksonville at 1. The Eagles will host the 49ers from Philly at 4:30. Then the Chargers will square off against New England for the night game at 8. There's also a Monday night game. The Steelers will host the Texans from Pittsburgh. The Denver Broncos and Seattle Seahawks both earned a bye week for winning the top seeds in the AFC and NFC, respectively. It's been exactly 1 month as of today since the Pacers have won a game. Yeesh. Well, I never expected them to make a serious push the way this season has gone. For a little while, it looked like there may be a chance they'd turned a corner into being competitive, especially after that win against the Bulls on December 5th. But things are rough for last year's Eastern Conference champions. They're dead last in the Eastern Conference by about 4 games, so if nothing else, maybe they'll earn decent odds for a high draft pick in the summer. That's not what any of us were hoping for after last year's magical run. Tonight, they'll try to turn things around against the Hornets in Charlotte. That tips off at 7. They're back home for the remainder of the coming week, hosting the Miami Heat Saturday, the Boston Celtics Monday, and the Toronto Raptors Wednesday. We're a few months away from the scheduled start of the WNBA season, but reports indicate that the league and Players Association remain far apart in collective bargaining negotiations. Both sides are set to meet Friday to discuss current terms and a path forward. If no agreement is made Friday, which ESPN says is the likely outcome, that won't automatically mean a work stoppage begins, but it does increase the likelihood of that happening. In December, players voted to authorize a strike when necessary. If you're new to sports labor disputes, a strike is a work stoppage initiated by players, while a lockout is a work stoppage initiated by the league. Hopefully, we'll have a clearer idea of where things are headed after Friday's meeting. Purdue's men's team will remain in West Lafayette for the next week, taking on Penn State Saturday before welcoming number 19 Iowa on Wednesday. Then they're headed to Southern California to face USC next Saturday. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.